Lord, we love you. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Oh, thank you for gathering us here this weekend. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Praise you for what you will do. Oh, do you pour out this weekend? Oh, pour out to the churches in Northern California. Lord, grant us all ears to hear. We want to hear what you're speaking today. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, saints. Amen. How wonderful. How wonderful it is to come together. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. We thank the Lord. We thank the Lord for another Labor Day conference. Amen. Oh, saints, it's what a blessing, right? What a blessing it is, right, for the Lord to gather us together once a year. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? For what? To receive his speaking. Amen. Amen. He desires to speak to us, right? To grant us his presence speaking, right, to the churches in Northern California. And, you know, we just pray that meeting after meeting, we would have ears to hear, right, what the Lord wants to speak to us. Amen. You know, and another burden that we have in regards to this conference is that we would be more blended together. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, saints, it is not a small thing that we could be here this weekend. You know, we all paid the price. You know, I'm sure some drove many hours away to get here, right, fighting the Friday afternoon traffic. But hallelujah, we're here. Amen. Amen. The Lord wants to blend us more together. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12:24, it says, "But God has blended the body together." Amen. Hallelujah. Saints, this is an accomplished fact. Amen. Right? The Lord has already done it. Amen. Right? But hallelujah, this weekend, right, we can put this into practice. Amen. Right? So may we take advantage of every opportunity, right, to be blended with the saints. Amen. May we take advantage of all the meals. Right? I hope we don't eat any meals by ourselves, right? But use the opportunities of the meals, amen, right? To eat with the saints, amen, right? For fellowship. How about even some saints that aren't in our locality, right? May we have many opportunities, right, for fellowship and blending, right, with the saints in Northern California. I know there's going to be a blending picnic tomorrow, right, at Coyote Point, so we hope to see all of you saints there. Amen. You know, this conference is, in a way, you can say that this is our conference. And what I mean by that is, you know, the conference, the burden for this conference is borne by the saints in Northern California, right? So all the services for this conference, right, from the children's service to the young people service, right, the ushering, translation, the AV, right, hallelujah, right, all the saints, right, are rising up, right, to bear the burden of having this conference together, hallelujah. But I would even say that even the ministry of the word, right, is something that all the saints are bearing together, amen. You know, in Matthew 16:18, you know, the Lord said, "I will build my church." Hallelujah. Amen. But how does the Lord do? How does the Lord do it? Well, in 1 Corinthians 14:4, the Apostle Paul said, "He who prophesies builds up the church." Right? So the Lord doesn't build the church directly, but he builds the church through the saints, right? Through the prophesying of the saints. And what does it mean to prophesy? You know, perhaps this is a new term for some of us. Well, prophesying is just to speak for Christ, to speak forth Christ, and to speak Christ into others. Amen. Hallelujah. May this weekend be full of prophesying. Amen. And, you know, maybe some of you saints might have the thought, you know, I don't have the gift of prophecy. I don't speak well. You know, in 1 Corinthians 14:31, it says, "For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. So saints, it's in the Word. It says you can all prophesy one by one, right? Which means all the saints in this room, right? We're all included, right? We can all prophesy. So saints, we desire, right, that we would all, right, take advantage of this weekend, right, to come up and to prophesy, right, to speak something, right, of Christ into others. Amen. Right, Brother Hamilton? Hallelujah. We can come up and dispense Christ to the saints, right? When we do so, we build up the church, right? This is what the Lord is doing today. Hallelujah. So saints, this weekend, we're going to be reviewing the messages from the recent International Chinese-Speaking Conference, which took place in Taipei in February. And the general subject of that conference and of this conference is fighting the good fight, finishing the course, keeping the faith, and loving the Lord's appearing in order to receive the reward of Christ as the crown of righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. This is from two verses in 2 Timothy, right? 2 Timothy 4, 7 to 8. And it says, and this is our brother Paul, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, with which the Lord, the righteous judge, will recompense me in that day. And not only me, but also all those who have loved his appearing. Amen. Hallelujah. The book of 2 Timothy was the last epistle, right, that was written by the Apostle Paul just before his martyrdom. And these verses in 2 Timothy chapter 4, actually chapter 4 is the very last chapter, right, of 2 Timothy. So I think in a way we can say that this was probably the last message, right, that the Apostle Paul wrote, right, to the saints. Not a small thing, right, that we have these precious verses. I also wanted to mention, we need to realize that 2 Timothy was written at a time during the church's decline, right? Soon after the churches were raised up, many of whom were raised up by the Apostle Paul, right? Many of the believers, they forsook the apostles' teaching, right? Which is centered on Christ and the church, right? Centered on God's economy. How did they forsake? Why did they forsake the apostles' teaching? Well, they were distracted. They were distracted by other teachings, by different teachings, right? By myths, by genealogies, right? By the law, right? They were distracted from God's economy. This is really something of the enemy, right? After the churches were raised up by the Apostle Paul, eventually the believers were distracted from God's economy. The Apostle Paul wrote 2 Timothy, right, as an epistle, right, to encourage the saints, right, to give the saints a warning, right, right, that they should live, right, for God's economy. With these verses, the Apostle Paul encouraged the saints, right, in the midst of the degradation. But I was touched, how did he encourage the saints? He encouraged the saints by presenting himself as a pattern, right, by presenting his own testimony, right? And what did he say? He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. Amen. I have kept the faith. Amen. Saints, this is the secret, right? In the midst of the degradation of the church, right? How can we stand faithful to the end, right? Until the Lord comes, right? How can we do so? We do so by fighting the good fight, right? By running the race, right? By keeping the faith. You know, this week, you know, I attended a memorial meeting of a brother, a young brother that passed away recently. And, you know, I didn't know that brother well. I met him 4 years ago when our family moved back to the Bay Area. And but I knew him through the Young People Service. And he also served my boys, our children. And, you know, at the memorial meeting, you know, it was really touching. You know, testimony after testimony, you know, the saints were just sharing that this brother, right? You know, although he was battling cancer, right? As a 26-year-old, right? He fought the good fight, right? He ran the race and finished the course, right? He kept the faith, right? He was faithful to the end, right? You know, I was just so touched, right? You know, on the one hand, you know, with these verses in Timothy, you know, we see the Apostle Paul as a pattern, right? But I think, you know, if we look among the saints, especially many who have passed away, and this brother who passed away, you know, we see a pattern, right? We see a pattern of how we can live, right? By fighting the good fight, finishing the course, right? Keeping the faith. Right, this is how we can be faithful to the end. Amen. So hallelujah, saints. So perhaps we can turn to this message, message one. I think you probably have an outline, right, for this message. Can we read the title together? Fighting the Good Fight. Amen. I'm sorry. Or is that okay? Let me take a look. Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, that was the general subject, right? But for I think for this message, it's fighting the good fight, right? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, lately there's been a lot of fighting, right? And we hear it in the news, right? The war in Israel. Right, the war in Ukraine. I think probably no one can say that these are good fights, right? Actually, all the wars in the world are just full of murder, right? Killing, pain and suffering, right? None of them are the good fight. I think we can all say none of these are the good fight. You know, the Apostle Paul said that we need to fight the good fight, right? You know, what is the good fight, right? A fight that is good is a fight that is for God's economy. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The fight that we are fighting for is one that is for God's economy. Amen. Amen. Right? So that the glorious God, right, can have a glorious expression on the earth. Right? This is what we are fighting for. Right? You know, perhaps we can read Roman numeral 1. Can we read that together? As revealed in 2 Timothy 4:7, a proper Christian life is threefold. It involves fighting the good fight, running and finishing the course, and keeping the faith. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, so hallelujah. Hallelujah for this threefold experience, right? Fighting the good fight, running and finishing the course, and keeping the faith. You know, among these three, the first item is to fight the good fight. I don't know if you've ever wondered, you know, how come fighting the good fight is the first item, right? And not finishing the course, right? Or keeping the faith, right? You know, saints, but, you know, we need to see that you know, in regards to fighting and in regards to warfare, you know, warfare is something that is, you know, it is something that is indicative of our entire Christian life, right? Our entire Christian life is a warfare, right? When our youngest son was in sixth grade, you know, my wife and I, we had a burden that he would receive the gospel, right, and get saved, and we would pray. And, you know, I just had the sense within, one night we preached the gospel and something came in. And I just felt like, oh, that ruined the gospel. Saints, even in the salvation of a brother and sister is a fight, right? Right? For someone to be saved, right? It is a fight. It is a battle. And then for someone to get baptized, right? You know, I think we've had many experiences, right? When there's a brother or sister that is considering getting baptized, you know, the saints would pray, right? They would pray for that person's baptism, right? Because we realize, right, it is a spiritual battle, right? It is a battle against the rulers and the authorities, right? The spiritual forces of evil. So even at the beginning of our Christian life, right, we begin with a warfare. We begin with a fight, right? And, I know in my own life, there's just so many things, even waking up in the morning to have morning revival. Oh, that's a fight, isn't it? Isn't it a fight to go to bed early? Isn't it a fight to wake up early and spend time with the Lord? Right? It is a battle, right? And then sometimes I might be in a prophesying meeting. And, I'm sitting in my seat, and it's hard to get up, right? Maybe I might have something to say, right? But inwardly, I might think, oh, I'm not sure if this is worth mentioning, right? So I'm kind of glued to my seat. And a lot of times, I'm in the meeting, and it's so quiet, right? You can hear the pin drop, you know? All saints, it is such a battle, right? Isn't it a battle? Right? Oh, Lord. So even the matter of prophesying, right, on Lord's Day. Oh, saints, this is a warfare, right? It's a warfare to get out of our seats, right? It is a warfare to speak for the Lord. So, saints, our whole Christian life is a warfare, right? You know, that's why in 2 Corinthians 4:7, the Apostle Paul begins with fight the good fight, right? Right? Everything in our life, the whole course of our life is just a warfare. Amen. And, even in the Old Testament, with the children of Israel, the children of Israel are a type, right, of the believers in the New Testament, right? And, in the Old Testament with the children of Israel, even they're leaving Egypt and entering into the good land to possess it, right, was a warfare, right? A brother shared this with me, and I looked up some of these verses, and I was really touched by that. Exodus 12:11, it says, and this is how, okay, this is in regards, okay, this is speaking about the children of Israel right before they're having the Passover right before they leave Egypt, okay? And here it says, and this is how you shall eat it, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is Jehovah's Passover. Does this sound like a real, relaxing and enjoyable meal? Right here it says, the children of Israel, when they had the Passover, right before they left Egypt, their loins were girded, right? The sandals were on their feet, right? They had a staff in their hand, and they ate in haste. It sounds like they're eating their last dinner before they go into battle, right? Then in Exodus 12, in the same chapter, 12:41, it says, and at the end of 430 years, on that very day, all the armies of Jehovah went out from the land of Egypt. Well, this is striking, isn't it? That Moses used the term armies of Jehovah, right? When referring to the children of Israel, right? So the Lord considered his people an army, right? We see this matter of fighting, right? Warfare. And then, of course, we know when the children of Israel, when they finally left Egypt, they went through the wilderness, and when they got into the good land, that it seemed like city after city was a battle, right? They were fighting, right? They were fighting, the nations, right, in order to possess the good land. Here in Joshua, this is right before the children of Israel, right before they conquered Jericho. Here in Joshua 6:2, it says, "And Jehovah said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho and its king and the mighty men of valor into your hand.'" Amen. So, hallelujah, saints. This matter of warfare. Brother James in the Chinese speaking conference, there was one thing he said. He said, "As Christians, we all should have a fighting spirit." Amen. All saints, as Christians, we all should have a fighting spirit. Amen. I hope this is the one thing you would take away from this message, that we all need to have a fighting spirit. Amen. Amen. Right? And just in our Christian life, in our personal life, right? In our work life, right? In our family life, right? In every aspect, we need to fight, right? Of course, not to fight against blood and flesh, but to fight against the enemy, right? In every situation, right? We need to fight. All saints, may we all have a fighting spirit, right? To fight for God's economy. Oh, to fight for the fulfillment of his economy. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Pray that we would all have a fighting spirit tonight. So for Paul, at the end of his course, when he knew his martyrdom was imminent, he could declare in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought the good fight." But what was this good fight? What was it that Paul was fighting for? To know that, we have to see that these words were spoken in the context of the church's decline and degradation. And also, we can look to his earlier exhortations and charges to his spiritual son, Timothy. In 1 Timothy 6:11 and 12, Paul says, "But you, O man of God, fight the good fight of the faith." I'm abbreviating, but, and in earlier in the book, chapter 1:18, he says, "This charge I commit to you, my child Timothy, that you might war the good warfare." Fight the good fight. War the good warfare. But what exactly did Paul fight for? And what was he charging his spiritual son Timothy to fight for? As with everything, it always goes back to God's economy. We know that Paul was fighting for this based off of 1 Timothy 1:3-4, where he says, "Even as I exhorted you when I was going into Macedonia to remain in Ephesus in order that you might charge certain ones not to teach different things." Not to teach different things, nor to give heed to myths and unending genealogies, which produce questionings, rather than God's economy, which is in faith. So on the positive side, Paul charged Timothy to fight for God's economy. Again, as a reminder, what is God's economy? God's economy is his household administration to dispense himself in Christ into his chosen people, that he may have a house which to express himself, which house is the church, the body of Christ. So Paul was charging him to fight positively for God's economy. But on the negative side, these verses also show that Paul was fighting against the different teachings. These different teachings actually brought in the decline of the church, drawing God's people away from the line of God's economy. I just appreciate that on one hand, this charge was given to Timothy. But on the other hand, we need to read these as if these charges are for us today. Pray that we would be today's Timothys. "Oh, but you, O man of God, you, O man of God, fight the good fight of the faith." For Paul, he could declare this in the past tense. "I have fought the good fight." But for us, we need to be the ing people. We need to be those who are fighting the good fight today. Oh, in this present age, fighting for God's economy and against different things. You know, I was recently touched by the Fremont Springs video, Fremont Springs Conference Center video. I don't know if you saints have all seen it, where an older brother referenced passing the baton to the next generation. And a younger brother echoed that burden and that sentiment and was receiving it and looking ahead. And I just appreciate, praise the Lord, we are in the Lord's recovery. You know, we have a rich heritage, a rich lineage. You know, Martin Luther, Count Zinzendorf, Madame Guyon, Emmy Barber, Watchman Nee, Witness Lee. But at the same time, I have a heavy responsibility. I feel a heavy weight where what the Lord's recovery, at least among us, will be, depends on who we are. It depends on what we see of God's economy. So saints, are you clear on God's economy? I was asking myself, am I clear on God's economy? You know, as I was considering how practically I can fight for God's economy, I was thinking, at first, you know, we could stand against cults and Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, we could stand against heresies, we could fight for, you know, the common faith, we could fight for the divinity of Christ, we could fight for the triune God, and these are all things we absolutely need to fight for. But on the other hand, I realized actually there's a lot of other more subtle things that can creep in. You know, where even if you're an inch off now, a mile down the road, you've deviated a mile. And so I've come to realize it's so easy for good scriptural things, but maybe things not in the line of life or not in the realm of God's economy to creep in. Or maybe things of the law, things of religion, maybe, you know, mere outward activity or movement or the temptation to have outwardly a successful work but without the Lord. And, you know, we think that these things come from the outside, but more and more I realize this stuff is coming from within. So we need to stand and fight for God's economy. Based on this, it would determine whether we are a factor of the decline or if we are those fighting against it. In addition to fighting for God's economy on the positive side and against the different teachings on the negative side, we also need to fight for the truth. What is the truth? The truth is the triune God and his word. And this truth needs to be wrought into us. And we need to be absolute for the truth and not compromise the truth. So easy to bring the truth down to meet us where we're at. Rather, we need to learn not in a hypocritical way, but by faith, to teach and preach the truth even beyond our personal experience. So now we know what we're fighting for, and we know what we're fighting against, but in order to fight effectively, we need to know how to fight, and we need to know who we're fighting. So how do we fight? Hallelujah for 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of the faith, lay hold on the eternal life, to which you were called. Saints, we've been called to the eternal life. Oh, so we need to lay hold onto the eternal life. To fight the good fight of the faith, we need to lay hold on this divine life and not trust in our natural human life. In our physical birth, we were all born with a natural human life. But praise the Lord, in our regeneration, we were given a divine life. We received another life. And this life has a nature to it. I'm going to declare some divine facts to you all tonight. This life is divine. This life is eternal. This life is incorruptible. This life swallows up death. This life is the really life. There's a man in the glory whose life is for me. You know, we're still human, and we still have to live in this world, but we can be Jesusly human. And we're learning to live the human life, not by our natural life, but by the eternal life. So our fighting the good fight is by laying hold on the eternal life. There was a really striking point in the outline. To confront the process of the church's decline in 2 Timothy, this life is a prerequisite. Also from the reading, Only the divine, eternal, incorruptible life can confront death, corruption, and confusion from the decline of the church. Oh, even as I was preparing for this sharing, it was just so easy to default on the natural life and run ahead of the Lord. Okay, I need to cover this point. I need to develop this aspect. I need to find this example. Oh, Lord Jesus, I had to remind myself, Jay, lay hold on the eternal life. There was such a temptation to want to have a good sharing. But what I came to realize was a good sharing coming from my natural self will do nothing for the fighting of the good fight. So it is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith of the Son who loved me and gave himself up for me. When Christ, our life, is manifested, then you also will be manifested with him in glory. So we fight by laying hold on the eternal life. We fight for God's economy in this way, not objectively, but subjectively, not just knowing the doctrine, but living it out in reality. You know, knowing God's economy experientially in his daily dispensing in all the ordinary aspects of our life, in our present daily living. You know, as we talk with our kids and wives, as we go about our work, interacting with our coworkers, on the commute, lay hold on the eternal life. You know, similar to what Jeff was saying earlier, in the mornings, I can go to my desk 20 minutes, 30 minutes earlier and get a jump on the emails, or I could go into that private room, close the door, and spend time with my beloved. Every morning it's a choice. Every morning it's a fight, but we can lay hold on the eternal life. Maybe after a long day at work and you have a headache, and then you realize, oh, it's Tuesday night, prayer meeting. At that time, deny the self. Stand against your natural lies. Stand against the flesh. Lay hold on the eternal life and join God's people on fight night to fight for God's purpose. You know, and it's not that we're determining in ourselves to do something, right? But I just appreciate we're just opening to the supply of resurrection life in this divine life. Oh, Lord, we can receive his fresh dispensing in that moment. Amen. So then, who do we fight against? We know we fight against the different teachings, but who do we fight against? Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it is against Satan and the kingdom of darkness. But you know, as I was praying over these points, something was kind of surprising to me. The primary verse in the outline doesn't even mention Satan. Doesn't mention Satan. I'll declare it to you. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. For though we walk in flesh, we do not war according to flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful before God. For the overthrowing of strongholds, as we overthrow reasonings and every high thing rising up against the knowledge of God, and take captive every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Amen. But no mention of Satan. Oh, but actually, he's there. He's just hiding. You see, Satan is subtle. He likes to hide behind things, and he likes to, you know, he doesn't come to you in a red jumpsuit and a pitchfork. But actually, he's sneaky. He fights dirty, and he comes from the side. But praise the Lord for 2 Corinthians 2:11, that we may not be taken advantage of by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Did you know that your reasonings need to be overthrown? That our thoughts need to be taken captive? That our mind is a battlefield here? You see, Satan is strategic. He knows that he could attack the weakest point, and if he gets our mind, oh, then he gets us. And oftentimes, most of the times, without us even realizing it, our mind can be rebellious, unruly, and easily usurped. I was considering why these particular verses were used. This is what I came with. You know, there in the Bible, there's so many verses on fighting or, you know, the enemy. Why these verses? And I just realized because if Satan can get our mind, he can do two things. One, he cuts us off from the reality of God's economy. Number two, he could start introducing different things. If he could just lead us away from God's economy, then the flow stops, the dispensing stops, and then God's eternal purpose is delayed once more. But praise the Lord, Satan is being exposed tonight. We can learn to fight the good fight and overthrow Satan's strongholds in our mind and take captive our thoughts unto the obedience of Christ. You know, practically, when a thought comes that isn't yours, that you realize, hey, that's not me, where'd that come from? We can learn to simply reject that. These thoughts are the flaming darts of the evil one. Why did that brother look at me like that just now? Oh, Lord, that is not my thought. Lord, the body is one and cannot be divided. That thought is not from me. Satan, that is from you. You can have it back. I reject it. Lord, I take the blood right now. Wash me from that thought. Or maybe your mind is swirling. Oh, swirling, swirling, and you can't seem to stop. Oftentimes when we're trying to spend time with the Lord, one thing a brother shared, or I've received help is, sometimes as you're trying to spend time with the Lord, you're like, oh, I need to email that brother. I need to do this. We could always just write it down and say, Lord, I'm back. I'll take care of that later. But sometimes that doesn't work, and it's still swirling. Oh, Lord, at that time we can call from deep within. Oh, Lord Jesus, call and be saved from our minds. Lord Jesus. And if that doesn't work, we could pray out loud. I feel like pray reading the word, praying out loud, exercising our spirit. That helps. And then if not, we could always sing. You know, I am not good at multitasking, but when I sing, I can't think. Especially when I'm releasing my spirit, then these thoughts drown out. We can learn to set our mind on the things which are above, or turn your eyes upon Jesus, and then all the things will grow strangely dim. You know, and if that doesn't work, I have a surefire way to cut through all the noise. And the quickest way to bring us into ascension is simply to praise the Lord, because Satan flees from our praises. So praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, in the Holy Word for Morning Revival, there was a portion on this. You probably read it, about a sister who was offended by an elder, and she was in darkness until she repented and then switched on, and then light came. Maybe I could share my personal experience. There was a time where I was offended by a brother. The problem was he would speak at this semi-annual trainings. So there was no way to get away. And, you know, I was full of accusation, right? Full of accusation. And to a degree, maybe I feel I was right, but I was dead right. I was dead right. And, you know, in the semi-annual trainings, I was just closed, and I just got nothing. It was just, and the problem was, I got so much help from this brother previously, but at that time, I was in darkness. But praise the Lord, I don't know, praise the Lord for his mercy, as I was stewing and simmering in my chair. You know, who's the biggest loser in this thing? I realized I was the biggest loser. But as I was sitting, stewing and simmering in that chair, praise the Lord for the Lord's shining and his light. Because in that moment, I don't know, the Lord had mercy, and I was able to just, by faith in my heart, just say, Lord, forgive this brother. There was still the hurt, but by faith I said, Lord, I don't want to lose out anymore. I don't want to miss you. Lord, I forgive this brother. And instantly, the flow was back. Once more, I could receive the portion of Christ in this brother. And my only regret is it took so long. But praise the Lord, we could stand against these thoughts. We can overthrow the reasonings and the strongholds in our mind. Saints, we need to learn to fight in this way. Amen. So in summary, we need to fight for God's economy. We need to fight for the truth. We need to fight against the different teachings. We need to fight by laying hold on the eternal life And we need to fight against Satan and the kingdom of darkness. Amen. Oh Lord, may the Lord gain a fighting people to match him. Amen. May each of us be today's Timothys. May we all receive this charge to fight the good fight of the faith. Amen. Pray that. Thank you, Lord, for this word of encouragement and this word of warning.
Lord Saints, at this point, we'd like to bring the microphones up and encourage the speaking from the saints in the South Bay. So for every one of these messages, there's been some saints asked to labor a little bit into the conference outlines in the morning revival and to strengthen and complete the speaking. So tonight, the saints from the South Bay have received this privilege. So some of you already know who you are. Others, the Spirit is anointing right now. So please come forward. Everybody has 1 minute to speak to confirm this word.
And while you're coming up, as the brothers have shared, the most important thing is to exercise your spirit. Amen. While you're sharing, lay hold of the eternal life. Amen. So 1 minute each, and then